chant our praises when it comes down. Yeah, I praise God, your rain comes down. Your rain comes down. One more time. Our praise goes up. Our praise goes down. Your rain comes down. Our praise goes up. Your rain comes down. Your rain. Oh, turn it up, sing. Turn it up. This sound of praise. Make it louder than any other. Lift him up. Lift him up. And shout his faith overall. Yeah. Sing, turn it up and turn it up. This sound of praise, make it louder than any other. Lift him up and lift him up and shout his faith overall. Sing, turn it up, turn it up. This sound of praise, make it louder.
Make it louder.
Sing it. Lift him up. And shout overall, overall. One more time. See, turn it up and turn it up. This sound of praise, make it louder.
Make it louder than any other. Lift him up and shout his name overall.
Now clap your hands and celebrate Jesus in this place. Hey, bring your praise in here. We are declaring our Redeemer lives. He lives now. He lives tomorrow. And he lives forever. Hey, put your hands together. Clap your hands like you know God. Hey. Father, we praise you. I know he rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sins. I believe. Do you believe it? Sing. I believe. Hey, sing. My shame is taken away. And my pain is healed in his name. I believe. Yes, I believe. I believe. From the top, sing, I know he rescued my soul, sing.
I know he rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin.
I believe, yes, I do. I believe. See, my pain is taken away. My shame is healed in his name. I believe, yes, I do. I believe. Hey, sing, I raise a banner. I raise a banner. Oh, my Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.
My Redeemer lives.
Yes, he lives. My Redeemer. He lives.
My Redeemer lives.
My Redeemer lives. And my Redeemer lives. Oh, yes, he lives.
My Redeemer lives.
My Redeemer lives.
My Redeemer lives.
Put your hands together. Hey. If you know your Redeemer lives in every situation, put your hands together and celebrate him. Praise his name. Sing, I know he rescued.
I know he rescued my soul.
And his blood has covered my sins. I believe. Yeah, I believe.
I believe.
Declare my shame is taken away.
My shame is taken away.
And my pain.
My pain is healed.
I believe. Oh, yes, I do.
I believe.
Now get ready to raise the banner in the air. Lift it up, sing. And I'll raise a banner. Oh, my Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. Yes, he lives. My Redeemer. My Redeemer lives.
My Redeemer.
Yes, he lives.
My Redeemer.
My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.
My Redeemer.
Yes, he lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. I raise the banner for my Lord has conquered the grave. I love the passage. I'll raise the banner, 'cause my Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. Tell that situation your Redeemer lives.
My Redeemer.
Tell the mountain, my Redeemer lives.
My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.
Yes, he lives.
My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.
I just want you to bless the Lord. Bless his name. He is good. He is great. And he is worthy to be praised. Yes, Lord, he is good, he is great, and he's worthy to be praised. Father, we bless you, we bless you, we bless you, we bless you.
Hey, bless your name, Jesus. Now raise a sign of praise and raise a sign of worship in here. Raise it, raise it, raise it, raise it. Raise it, raise it, raise it, raise it. Hey, we give you all the praise, Jesus. Hey, are there worshipers in our midst? Are there people who want to worship in the spirit and the truth? Hey, one more time, raise the sound of worship. Raise the sound of praise. Yay, Adonai, Adonai. We call your name, sing. No other God deserves your praise. We call you Adonai, sing. Sing Adonai, sing. Now lift it up, lift it up, lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. Hey, from the rising, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the day. Your name is to be hallowed. We call your name, Jesus. There is no one like you. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Your name is a strong tower. The righteous running at the aside. From the rising to the setting of the same. Never local salad. Oh, let your worship flow. Let it flow like a river. Let it flow like a river this morning. Sing Adonai, Adonai. From the rising to the setting of the same. Your name. Adonai. Now call his name in his place. Lift your voice and worship. Worship the King of Kings. And worship the Lord of Lords. Hey. Reko Sebanota. Let his presence fill this place. Reko Balu Sebanuta. Father, we worship. Father, we lift you. Remanoka Sebanuta. Somebody worship God. In spirit and in truth. Revolution. Hey, call his name in this place. Hey, hey. From the rising of the sun, to the setting of the same. Your name. Your name is to be. Don't stop it. Your worship. Don't stop it. See, from the rising, oh, let Jesus be exalted. Let the King of Kings be praised. Oh, your name. Lift your voice, church, for such the Father seeketh. Lekosa, your name is to be. Adonai. Hey, from the rising. Your name is to be. Rising of the sun to the set of the sea, your name is to be. If you can speak in the language that I speak, begin to speak. Recosem.
Oh, Father, we thank you and we bless your name. Indeed, your name is to be hallowed. We hallow your name this morning. Even as Jesus taught us to pray, he said, when you pray, pray in this manner: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Father, as we have hallowed your name this morning, we ask, O God, that you will be in our midst as we have gathered today, Father God Almighty, to celebrate and to just worship you, to gather in worship, to adore you, to just bestow on you all the accolades that you are deserving of. You are more than deserving of. You are our God. You are our King. You are our everything. And today we just say thank you, Father, for being such an amazing God. Thank you because you are our provider. You are the one who meets us in our everyday, our daily needs. Father God Almighty, everything that we need, everything that we want, you are more than able to supply. And you do supply our needs. And we say thank you. Thank you, Father, because you're not leave us desolate. You do not leave us comfortless. You are our comfort. You are our shield. You are our exceedingly great reward. Father, we exalt your name this morning. We hallow you, O Lord. Thank you for all that you are to us. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for all that you have made us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Good morning, church. Good morning, church. You may be seated. Children, you may proceed to service in an orderly fashion, please. No one coming down the middle aisle. Exit from either end of the hall, please. Thank you. And while they do that, can you please welcome someone you haven't seen in a while? We have someone else who has been around from a long holiday. Say hello to her. Lovely to see you. Lovely to have you back. And just smile to someone. Ask them how their week was. You know, I'm seeing a lot of greens in the room. Everyone has a green theme going on. I didn't get the memo, but, you know, but we thank God. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning to everyone online, joining us online. It's lovely to have you with us online. We can't see you, but you can see us, and we're happy to have you here. Thank you very much. I will take the announcements now. We will meet as usual. I feel like it sounds funny. Yeah, there is, right? Okay. Can you hear me okay now? Okay, lovely. Thank you. Right, so as is our custom for a while now, we fast and pray every beginning of the first few days of the month. So we will be fasting and praying from tomorrow on to Wednesday. And when we do the fasting and praying, we meet at 6:30 in the mornings for prayers, and then 6:30 to 6:45. But then we'll have our usual Monday prayer meetings at 9 p.m. On Monday. So two prayer meetings tomorrow, 6:30 in the morning, and then 9 p.m. And then on Wednesday, we have our online Bible study at 8:30. Everyone should have the link by now. If you don't have the link, you know what to do. Amen. Amen. And you know what? We are a giving church. I love saying that. Every time I sound like, we're a giving church, because we are a giving church. And it takes money to do certain things. You know, money is the currency that lets us do things. But like we always like to emphasize, it's not just about you giving. It's about you also, you know, being a conduit for God to bless you. One of the things I remember saying when I started coming here was, I used to wonder, why don't we talk about offering? Why don't we talk about giving? And I thought, And I remember, I think I picked up on one of the pastors. I said, you know what? I feel like you're holding me back from God blessing me, but you're not letting me give. And I say that as a testimony because in the time I've been here, in my consistency in giving, I have seen God just do amazing things in my life. Not big miracles. God is a good God, and he's done some miracles. But even the little things, I've just seen a peace, a consistency in certain things for me. And I'm so grateful to God. And I know I can tie it back to that faithfulness of giving. So I want to encourage somebody this morning, you know, when we say give, we always say it's not so much about the bigness of the money you give, but it's about the posture of your heart, and it's about the consistency with which you give to the work of God. And honestly, the work that we do here in Transparent House is amazing. You guys have all been part of the series. The series, this Your Right Side of History, the way this series has touched me, everybody who knows knows. And I've literally imbibed every single session we've had. And for me, it's been deeply reflective, like I said the last time, but it's also been destiny defining. And I'm just grateful to God that I know that there are things he's about to do with me. So all of you watch this space. And I'm just grateful to him. So I always kind of come here excited and ready to give. So I won't ramble on too much. But please, if you're going to give today, we have on your chairs, you find an envelope that has got the sort code and the bank details. If you don't have that, if you're giving cash, obviously put your cash in the envelope. If you're not giving cash, if you're just, you know, you have the details on there to remind you. And you can also give via PayPal using our admin at transformationhouse.org.uk. Now, before I say a prayer, I want to charge everyone online this week and say, if you have been online listening to this series, Your Right Side of History, please send us an email and just tell us what it has meant to you, how you found the series. And the email address to that is admin@transformationhouse.org.uk. We'd like to hear from you because we don't see you online, obviously, but you see us and you hear the messages. Just let us know how that's been for you. Amen, amen, amen. So let's say a prayer over our giving. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to just be here in your presence once again. Father, that we can gather every Sunday, it's such a privilege that we do not take for granted. Father, we thank you, Father God Almighty, that you order our steps here every Sunday that we are here, whether we're gathered in person or online, you order our steps even to this church community. And we thank you for the amazing and impactful things that you are doing with each and every one of us who is a part of Transformation House. Lord, as we give a bit of our substance to you today, we thank you, Father, because indeed you are our source. So everything we have and everything that we give has first of all come from you. So we acknowledge, Father, that you are the one who is our provider. You are our everything. We acknowledge you first in that. And Lord, even in that acknowledgement, we now give back a token to you to say, thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for your provision. Thank you, Father, for your guidance, for everything that you are to us. And Lord, as we do that, we do it in confidence, knowing, oh God Almighty, for every time we give, every little thing we give, whether in our time, in our money, in our words of encouragement, every time we give, we sow a seed that we will reap a bountiful harvest from, even in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree over anyone this week who is struggling with something, who is worried about something, who is thinking, what is the point? I say concerning you, God will make a way for you, will open a door for you this week that will blow your mind. The heavens are open over you, but particularly that need that you have that is really been troubling you, I declare that this week you will receive a solution for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because we can come boldly to your throne of grace. We can ask, or we can speak, you know, with confidence, and I can declare this thing so confidently because you are the God who has made us your own. You have called us to yourself, and you have given us your Son Jesus Christ, who allows us to just come boldly to just to your throne of grace when we need to and obtain mercy in times of need. Lord, we are grateful for all that you are to us. We say thank you once again. Thank you for the fact that we can give you something. And for anyone who is struggling to give, we know you know our hearts, you know our heart posture. You see where we're our pain points, and you are meeting us at those points every step of the way. We are not left desolate. We are not. And we say thank you, Father, for being an understanding, loving, and faithful God. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen, amen, amen. We are going to get a special number now by the choir. Please give them a warm welcome, because the choir has been choiring these days. Well done, guys.
Good morning again, church. Hallelujah. It's so good to see you in church. In our song today, we just want to acknowledge the person of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Yeah, very simple song, and it's a song we're going to keep doing, you know, so I just want you to pay attention and be a part of it. Hallelujah.
There's nothing worth more that can ever come close. Nothing can compare your all-living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetness of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that can never be seen. Nothing can compare your all-living hope. Your presence, Lord. Tasted and seen of the sweetness of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence.
Fall down, you just encourage me in the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much. We absolutely love you. Thank you for all you do. Your sacrifice is very, very much appreciated. It's so lovely to see you all in church today. Great to be here. Great to be part of what God's doing. We've been running through a series on being on the right side of history. And I think it's extremely important because when the history is told, when the story of your life and the story of my life is told, it's important where we will fall, what kind of story will be told about us, what testimony, to use a Christian word, you know, what your testimony would be and what my testimony would be at the end of it all. I'm trying to use my phone, so please just bear with me. But thank you all for following this series. And if you've not, you can catch up online. But I will try and summarize this and just quickly put an end to it. But can we pray for a minute? Father, we just thank you for your beautiful, awesome presence in this house. We trust you with all of our hearts. We trust you with all of our souls and all of our being. You are our creator. You are our father. But then even when we lost our way because of the sinful nature we have in us, you died to set us free and buy us, purchase us back to yourself. And so God, we just, our hearts are full of thanksgiving and praise. And we just acknowledge your name and acknowledge all that you mean to us, oh God. And Lord, we just say as we examine your work today that God, you will speak something to us that would help our lives and make us better people and eventually make this a better world for everyone that's around us. We give you all of the praise and all of the glory. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Can I have a big amen? Amen. So I'll try to sort this out and then we'll make a start. So this, like I said, this month, we've been talking about being on the right side of history, and the whole discussion has been, thank you so much, Shagat to the rescue, thank you. and the discussions generally be around asking ourselves the question that our lives is formed one decision at a time. If you give me 1 second, I need to just do. Okay, yeah, so I'm there now. Yeah, so we were talking about the fact that God wants us to live our lives. Where we get to, where we end in life is determined by the decisions that we make and that we write the story of our lives one decision at a time. So if I write the story of my life and you write the story of your life one decision at a time, because one decision can determine, this decision determines the next step, determines where you go next. So if we do that, then it means that the questions I ask myself and the questions you ask yourself when you make decisions become extremely important, because those questions would help us navigate and help us get to the place where we can ask the right questions and indeed be able to get make the right decisions to be able to go forward. And we talked about those should be good questions, because good questions will lead you to good decisions. And we said that all those five questions that we have, and I'll go over the first four right now, the five questions that if we ask those questions ourselves, you don't have to discuss this with anybody, just ask yourself those questions. And if you answer honestly, and you decide to act on them, that you will make better decisions that will ensure that you and I turn out in the best place for our lives. And the first question we asked ourselves was the integrity question, because I think this is extremely important. When you're making a decision, when you're thinking about it, you need to be able to ask yourself, am I being honest with myself? It's extremely important that, look, because if you're not honest with yourself, nobody else can help you. Someone said to me once, he said that the greatest lie you can ever tell yourself, he said the greatest lie is the lie that you tell yourself. And I sort of agree with that, because if everybody else can deceive you, if you're not deceiving yourself, you're on the right path. The minute you start deceiving yourself, start not telling yourself the entire truth, you're veering off the right path. You know, what I said back to the person also is that the most dangerous lie is the lie that we tell the people who rely on us, the people who love us, the people who depend on us for everything.
And will you understand that better when I finish this message? But the second question that we asked, and Pastor Lalu did an amazing job with this, was about legacy. What legacy am I leaving? When the story of my life and the story of your life is told, what story will be told about you? You know, because the guys in the Bible, they didn't know that a Bible was going to be written about them. They didn't know thousands of years later, somebody will be reading their story and say, David, why did you behave like that? You took somebody else's wife. Then you then sent a message to the war front and said, push him ahead so that the guy can be killed. They didn't know. These were decisions they made in their rooms, communicated in secret, but somehow found itself on the pages of newspaper and the pages of Bible that's been preserved thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, till now. And one of the things that touched me the most last year was when we went for Pastor Laolu's birthday, and his son did a session and talked about his dad. I had tears in my eyes, because the people who know you the most are the people who live with you. The people who see you when you're not wearing a suit, when you're not all glammed up and there's no makeup, right? They can tell us exactly what you are. And when the things he said about his dad really, really touched my heart. And I kept asking myself that legacy question, when all of my life becomes a story, what kind of story would it be? Will I be a hero or will I be a villain? You know, when I was young, we called them the bad man. Is that what I'm going to be? That's a question that you and I need to ask yourself. This decision I'm about to make, when it's all a story, this choice that I'm about to make, when it's all a story, what kind of story would it be? The third one was about our conscience. And it was all about the red flag, that if you want to make a decision and there's a red flag in your heart, or there's just an unsettling thought, don't rush, pause. And it's about if there's a tension, you need to give a little bit of attention to that tension in your heart. It's stopping and saying, is there a tension in my heart? Can I stop for a minute and fully allow this tension to settle so that when I then make a decision, I can make a decision that is absolutely, that's the right decision to make. Sorry, I'm struggling a bit, but I would be with you in a minute. So sorry about this. Okay, cool. So that was the question that we asked the, we'll just go ahead without it. That was the question of conscience. The last one that we discussed last week, and that's Pastor Laolu teaching us about maturity, was what is the wise thing to do? And Pastor Laolu clarified to us that something can be not wrong and not wise at the same time. So it's possible that it's not a sin. It's not a sin, you know. If you do it, it's not a sin. Oh God, but it's also possible that it's not the wise thing to say. And you know, I didn't say it's not the wise thing to do. I said it's not the wise thing to say, because our mouth can drive us to places that our body can't. It can write checks that our body can't cash. You know, so he gave us an assignment to do. He said, God, Pastor Lalu, God bless you. Because he talked about decisions should be tied to your past and to your present and your future. And Pastor Lalu gave us an assignment for 7 days, which will come up. And the assignment was all about coordinating your past with your present and your future. The slide, please. The next slide. Thank you. I want to read this because I just don't want to say it off my head. There's a next slide about, it will come up in a minute. In light of my past experiences, the 7-day challenge that Pastor Lalu gave us, in light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? To be able to look in the past and say, when I did things right, I got the right answers. When I made dodgy decisions, I got dodgy answers. To be able to look in this present circumstances and look in the future, where I'm going, in light of all of those, and be able to make a decision, we need to consider that. And I think that's extremely, extremely important for us. But you see, the last four that I've covered have immediate results for us in the now. But this last one, this last question that we want to, does not necessarily pay us dividends for ourselves. This is a question that if you ask yourself, it would help make the world a better place and help make the people around you the better place. It's very clarifying and very terrifying. And it might be the question that you and I will resist the most, because like I said, it's not paying dividends for you, it's paying dividends for other people. It might be the one that we're most tempted not to ask ourselves. It might be the one that we want to shy away from because of the danger that it poses. And you will see what I mean in a minute. But at least let's ask ourselves an answer, even if you're not going to do it. Because we always say that what you don't know can't hurt you. But trust me, what you won't know can actually hurt you. And what you refuse to know can hurt the people around you as well. So we can't take it for granted. We can't take it for granted that if I don't ask it, if I don't do this, then everything will just wipe away. Because if you dig your head in the sand, life will pass by you, around you. Everything would happen. And when you pull your head from the sand, guess what? Things would have happened that you didn't plan for and you refused to see because you were trying to hide away from it. We are created for relationship. When God made man, he said, it's not good for you to be alone. So that's why God created people around you. And this question is not only about romantic relationship. It's about, you know, your colleagues, being a neighbor. It's about relationship with everyone around you. Again, like I said, there's a disclaimer. It would not give you the return on investment that you want. But trust me, it would make the world a better place. So what is this question? Let me go back to Jesus and just paint a little bit of a background. Throughout Jesus's ministry, when Jesus came and he started doing miracles, people flowed after him because all of a sudden Israel, who had been oppressed by the Roman Empire, sort of started to believe again that there is hope, that maybe someone is going to rescue them from Roman domination and lead them into a political reform that will make their lives better. So when Jesus was around feeding the 5,000, doing all those miracles, people were excited. And trust me, the disciples, more than everybody else, were very excited because their relevance, you know, they became very important people in Jerusalem. And their relevance was all because Jesus was relevant. You know, they controlled crowds because Jesus gathered the crowds. So Jesus, on his final day, before the final day Jesus lived before he was crucified, got the disciples together. And the final night when he met with them, he spoke to them and said, look, I just want to tell you, I have an announcement to make because I'm going to be leaving you very soon. Trust me, that was probably the worst news that this guy could ever have imagined. Imagine someone like Peter saying, but Jesus, all this crowd you've gathered, you mean you're just going to leave them and go like that? What becomes of them? This movement that we're trying to establish, what becomes of this movement? What are we going to do? And Jesus, you know, the only reason we're not dead is because you're here. Like, Jesus, people ate us. They had massive enemies, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They had a lot of enemies. And they're like, Jesus, you know, if you disappear, if you leave, our lives are also going to be in danger. But Jesus said, look, I'm about to die. I'm just going to ignore all of this, your political ambition. I'm about to die. So it's important for me to give you one last thing that I feel will be extremely important. Look, if you have one night left to live, what will you tell your family? That's the sort of moment that this was for Jesus. And trust me, those of us who have gone to church for long, we're always pressing for something deeper. Never mind all the messages we've heard, we've done nothing with it, but we want something deeper. But you see, this is the deepest of the deep, because Jesus, what he was going to tell them was what was topmost in his heart. So Jesus is saying, look, when you go through crucifixion, the soldiers know how to beat a man to get to the edge of his life and then leave him so that they can beat him again. So if a man is making the conscious decision to go through that for you, what he tells you is something you should extremely take to heart. And I'm saying this because the scripture I'm going to tell you is nothing new. It's something you've heard over and over and over again. But it's something that if we are not careful, we discount. And we count it as one of those feely-touchy type of message. But this is not. This is something so powerful. In fact, when the disciples got it, these fishermen who were ignorant people became people who turned the world upside down. So, Pastor Ayo, or Ayo, whatever you choose to call him, what is this? John chapter 13 and verse 34. Jesus says, a new command. Now, I put the emphasis on new because The Israelites have they have hundreds of commands. The Torah had 634 thereabout laws, different laws that God gave them when you wake up, when you sleep, when you wash, when you eat. They had so many laws that they had followed. So they were used to laws. But Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you a new command. In fact, when Jesus himself appeared and they asked him, what's the most important law? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, and soul. And he said, then love your neighbor as yourself. So even Jesus had given them a version that they could work with. But this night, the night before his death, Jesus says a new command. It was almost saying, look, if you ignore everything else that's gone before, you could literally anchor on just this one command and you wouldn't go wrong. And what was that command? He said, love one another as I have loved you, so must you love one another. Now, why is this powerful? This is powerful. This command is so powerful because Jesus was talking about loving one another, but he wasn't talking about loving one another in the context of what was before, because at a point in the Old Testament, the love for one another was an eye for an eye. That was what the Old Testament taught. So if somebody slaps you, you have the right to slap back as hard as you can, because it's an eye for an eye. Like literally, you will be justified to do that. But then when Jesus was stepped on the scene, it moved, it shifted to do unto others as you want others to do unto you. And that's a powerful one as well, because honestly, it's moving the goalpost. It's pushing it up a little bit. But with this new command, Jesus completely wipes the slate clean and gives them something that was so outstanding, so unprecedented, because Jesus said, don't love them like you want to be loved. He's saying, I am becoming the gold standard. I'm becoming the standard of how you love people. So I'm not asking you to love them like they love you, because sometimes in our relationships, in your marriage, when she's done something wrong, the man will say, yes, I would do mine back, because you're loving her as he loved you, right? So you're justified, you're fine. Jesus is saying, no, that's not the standard that I want you to live by. I want you to live by the standard that I am going to give you. And that standard is that you love people the way I, Jesus, loves you. Now, if that doesn't scare you, give me a few minutes. Because when I read this, it scared me. Because a lot of what we live by and a lot of what we've known and a lot of the Christianity that's been taught to us does not go into this. He didn't give us an option. He said, you must. This is a command. There are times that you are given options. There are times that either or is okay. This is not one of those instances. Jesus said, look, it used to be an eye for an eye. It used to be do unto others, but that is so Old Testament now. It's gone. This is the new school. If I'm not the new school, this is the forever school. For you to love people where I become the standard for you, where you're trying to do to people as I do. And the disciples understood, because these guys were all known entities. Let me use that word. Somebody said that. It's a long story. But they were all nothing until Jesus met them. In fact, let me pick an example. Matthew was a tax collector. So the tax collector might not mean anything to you and I. Rome was oppressing Israel. And then Rome was trying to collect taxes from Israel. But what they found out was that because we don't speak their language, we don't live with them, we actually don't know how much they earn. We don't know how much they own. So we can get in, the guy has 100 cows. He says, oh, Rome, I only have 2. So they say, okay, fine, we'll just take one and we'll go. So do you know what Rome did? They recruited some people in Israel who are the tax collectors. And oh my God. And they made them, because they know the people, they speak their language, they know what everybody has. They made them to collect taxes from. And the way it is that even your parents will hate you because you collect taxes from your parents. If you have a grown child, you collect taxes from your children. So the people who were hated the most were not politicians, they were tax collectors, because they're touching your finance, they're touching your funds. So this was the kind of person that Matthew was. Matthew was the guy that everybody hated. He was a thief with a bodyguard, because Rome had to protect him. They'll give him bodyguards to follow him around. That was Matthew. So when Jesus turned to Matthew and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It was revolutionary because that was the first time since in his adult life that anybody ever told him, I want to be associated with you. And that was Matthew. So imagine Matthew sitting down there and hearing Jesus say that all of a sudden, somebody wants me. Somebody accepts me. Somebody sees me. Beyond my actions, beyond who I am, beyond what I've done, someone actually recognizes me. That was Matthew. So all of a sudden, Matthew said, I will follow you. I'll do everything. So when Jesus said, love other people as I have loved you, Matthew sat there and think, how has he loved me? And you think about your life. I think about my life, where I'm coming from, what I've done. Honestly, for someone to still die for me and keep forgiving my sins, it's a miracle. But as they were thinking about the last 3 years that they spent with Jesus, just said, wait. Look, I would even make it higher. I'll take it to the next level tomorrow. Because tomorrow, I'm going to be crucified. I'll be beaten. And while I'm being beaten, I'm going to be praying for the guys who are beating me. I'm going to be nailed to the cross, and I will love them. See, we hate being rejected. Jesus was saying, I'm going to give my life and make myself available to people who would never accept me. Jesus was going to die for people who would never ever follow him. He knew that the old world was not going to get born again. But Jesus said, guess what? I'm going to the cross anyway. That is what Jesus was talking about here. That you make a decision in yourself to love as he has loved, knowing that there is a high likelihood that that love would never be reciprocated. Knowing that that love might not even change the recipient. But it's not about them, it's about him. And if I quickly move forward, John 13:35, the Bible says, by this will everyone know that you are my disciples. You know, there's some certain scriptures that when you see them in the Bible, you wish you can delete them from every Bible that's ever been written. Because Jesus is saying, this is the demonstrative pronoun by which people will know we are Christians. The demonstrative pronoun by which when God looks down, God will be able to say, yeah, is my son, is my daughter. That demonstrative pronoun, this is that you love one another the way I loved you. Jesus, why did you say it was about how much I pray? Because some of us are very, very good at praying. And he didn't say it's about how much you read your Bible as well. Did you notice that? This was not even about how much you fast, even though I encourage you to fast the next 3 days, right? But that's not how he measures it. How we are proven to be his disciple, the demonstration of discipleship is about how we love people as he has loved us. Jesus' followers, and I want that on the screen so that you can see, will demonstrate their devotion to God by putting the next person, the person next to them, in front of them. Especially when you are tempted to put them behind you. Especially when their action deserves for you to put them behind you. That's where the litmus test, where we test ourselves if we are believers or not, where I know whether I'm really following Jesus, whether the salvation experience means something, is when I decide that I can put them in, next to me or in front of me instead of behind me. Authentic followers of Jesus would authenticate their faith in Jesus. This is how you authenticate it. You know, 2 steps of education, 5 steps. This is how you authenticate your faith. Show me your faith by your works or without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. My faith by my works is loving people, looking around us and exalting everyone that we find around us, not just the people that we that love us as we should. Jesus himself demonstrated that. Jesus could have, he could have allowed his deity. He was divine. He was living amongst flesh. He could have commanded. Look, there were things that he could pull the Jesus card. He never pulled Jesus card. In fact, when they gathered together, guess what? Jesus was the one washing the feet of the disciples. Again, we live in modern times. Think about this. Those days, they were on tarred roads, all muddy everywhere, heist and all of that. And they didn't have cars. So there was no driving around. It was donkey and horses and all of that. And those things, as they go along, they pass excrement and all of those things. Now, the rich people They don't see when you're a servant in the rich house and you've had your worst week and they want to punish you. The task they give you is not washing the toilet, it's washing people's feet. Because people watch hundreds of miles. So some of them have worked the whole day. Those things have sort of, they're hard. And then somebody comes and put their feet in your face and you start. That was what Jesus did. Jesus stooped down and demonstrated that, look, I will be a servant. I will serve so that you can be exalted. So why would Jesus follow his, why would the disciples follow his word? Because Jesus himself lived that life. John 30, 34, that I've said, he said, as I have loved. And in 1 John 4, 19, this one I also like very, very much. He said, we love. John was saying, John was there with Jesus, the beloved, the disciple that he loved very much, said, we love because he first loved us. He did it. Jesus is not asking us to do something he didn't do. And he didn't do this in his divinity. He did it in his humanity. Because it's something else to say, the Father in heaven, God is love. Well, Father, you're all spirit now. You've not been tempted. You know, because there are some people can tempt you. Some people can say words to you that, yeah, some of us know what I'm saying. So God, you've not really been tempted. But look, Jesus walked in our steps and experienced the same thing that we experience. So what is the relationship question? The relationship question is this. What does love require of me? And I'm not talking about filios, the brotherly love. I'm not talking about eros. I'm not talking about any other kind of love. I'm talking about agapao, the God kind of love. You and I need to be able to ask ourselves, what does the love of God, if Jesus was standing here, how would Jesus respond to this? In fact, this, because life, law gives us the minimum standard. So a lot of times we do the barest minimum that we can get away with. And then we leave the rest. But this is not the barest minimum. Jesus is raising the standard to the highest. God is demanding the best from us. And he's saying, like, God gave you his best. I want you to give your best to other people. That's what Jesus is demanding. He's saying, do unto others as your heavenly Father has done for you. Let me quickly round off and then we will close. 1 Corinthians 13. Paul was one of those people, if you go back one slide, was one of those people that had an encounter with Jesus. He wasn't there with him as one of the 12 disciples, but it was prophesied about him that one of those 12 disciples was going to backslide and he was going to be the 12th disciple, even though he never met Jesus. Of course, he had a revelation, he had all of that, and you know very much about that. But in 1 Corinthians 13, based on what he had encountered, based on what he knew about this kind of love, Paul gives a few pointers. He talked about kindness. He talked about goodness. He talked about gentleness. So this is the slide before that. I think we've moved a bit quicker. He talked about gentleness, being gentle with other people, slowing your pace so that you walk in the pace of other people. Because a lot of times you're far ahead of the people that are around you. You know better than them. That's why we're impatient, because you need to be. But sometimes you walk at their pace. You choose to walk at their pace instead of hurrying and dragging people to your pace. That gentleness, faithfulness, being faithful to something, choosing to stay even when it's difficult, and self-control, which is key for us. Because a lot of times we're tempted to try to control someone else instead of controlling ourselves. And that leaves us to 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul was talking about love being patient. He was talking about love being kind. He said love does not boast. It doesn't envy. Love is not proud. Verse 5 says that, I'm just going to let us read this and try to reduce my commentary as much as possible. But verse 5 says that love does not dishonor other people. Love does not treat people dishonorably, indecently, or disgracefully. What you just said, what you just did, in fact, what you just thought, is it going to dishonor that person? Is it going to disgrace them? Is it going to treat them indecently? These are questions you need to ask yourself. These are questions I ask myself. Jesus never treated people dishonorably, disgracefully, or indecently. It's not self-seeking. It's not all about me. It's not easily angered. You know, we are even proud of it. I have a short fuse. We wear it as a badge. Don't even try me. And it's okay. It's okay. I know you're short fuse, but maybe we want to yank that fuse and replace it with the John 13:34 fuse. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Because some people remember what their partner did to them 16 years ago. They have the date and the time. It was 3:02 in the afternoon. 2009. And these were the exact words that you said. And the guy is looking at you like, sorry, I can't remember what I ate yesterday. It could be girl. But sometimes, you know, women are very better with memory. My memory is blessed. In fact, one of my friends went to buy a medicine. You know, this well man and all of that. One of my friends bought a medicine, and I'm not pointing fingers. One of my friends bought a medicine that's supposed to help you with memory. So he called me during the week. I said, the only problem is I can't remember to use the medicine. He said, when I take the medicine, it actually works. The only problem is I can't remember to use it. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. I say it this way, that love does not smuggle something harmful into the relationship. You know, stowaways, how they smuggle themselves into a country and illegally. No, don't smuggle evil into that relationship. He says it always protects, verse 7. Always protects. Love does everything to protect relationships. It always protects. Love is not seeking to win arguments. Because a lot of times you win arguments and you lose relationships. It's not seeking to win arguments. Love chooses relationships over winning. And this is countercultural because I know our culture doesn't teach this, but we are followers of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, if you're going to be like me, this is what I expect of you. He says, always trusts, always hopes. Love will hope against hope. And that love always perseveres, never gives up. Verse 8 says, love never fails. See, this is not a message for the faint-hearted. Right? This is not, if you're not a follower, a disciple, if you're not taking things seriously, you're not going to do this. You probably stick with the four questions, the first four, because that pays you off. But this is tough. It's tough. When you're sitting behind the email, you've received that email, you're boiling. And you're sitting behind, you start typing. Yeah, keyboard warrior, you know, you're going for it. This stops you in your track. When it is within your right to give that answer, and you're not wrong, but this is not how Jesus loved you, it stops you in your track. When the person standing next to you is not living by that standard, it still stops you in your track because it's not based on them. It's based on you and how you treat other people. So before you take that next step, say those words, make that call, or refuse to make that call, can we ask ourselves this question? What does love require of me? And I've intentionally put the second statement on that slide because we know that God is love. And because we're not talking about human love, romantic love, love of a father to a son, we're talking about the divine love. I've put that there, that what does my Lord require of me? And I pray that God will speak to our hearts, that God will give us the grace, that God will give us the energy, the strength to be able to live these words out, because this is what God wants us to do. This is how God wants us to live. He demonstrated his love by putting other people first. And he's saying, this is how I want you to live. I want you to daily demonstrate my love. by asking, by loving other people as God would have loved them. This is how the kingdom that we're a part of is supposed to operate on earth. Father, we just yield to you. Quiet, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, quiet, don't worry. Yeah. We just yield to you today. We just acknowledge you. And I want you to just close your eyes and for a minute, between yourself and God, ignore everyone else. Ignore every moment. Just let this place be just about you. If you're online, I know you're cooking or you're getting it, whatever you're doing. Just for 1 second, just focus between you and God and try and make that committed. Ask God to help you to live by this question. That God, even if I can't live all the time, at least help me start making those steps that I can start living as you want me to. This demonstrative pronoun that by this shall people know that I'm your disciple. God, I'm praying, just reveal yourself to me. Help me to be able to live, because I know if I do this, I will end up on the right side of history. Just like Jesus followed this principle, Jesus lived it and he ended up on the right side of history and he said we should do it. God, give us the grace, give us the strength, give us the wisdom, give us the capacity to be able to live like this, oh God. We vow that all of the glory and all of the praise will be to your holy name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we acknowledge this is not something we can do by our strength. It's not something we can do by ourselves. This is something that we need your help with. We need your help. So we say, God, help us, oh God. Give us that divine help so that our lives can be lived to the glory of your name, so that our existence will be to the praise of your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for your time. I just want to give another opportunity again for those of us who weren't here when we took the offering, or you've not been able to give your offering. The slides will come up in a minute. We're going to close quite quickly because we have a meeting here at 11:30. We have a workers meeting. So we're going to get together as workers, volunteers in church and just try to discuss where we are and where we're going as a church. But if you do want to give, if you've not been able to give, the giving slides over there for you to please do that. We appreciate your giving. We appreciate all that you do. We absolutely love you all. And we believe that God is up to something in your life. And it might take a little minute, but the Bible says, be not weary of well-doing, because in good season, in due season, you will reap. You see, your due season is coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shall come. And you not miss it in Jesus' name. God, I speak a blessing over your people as we go out into this week to live by the things that you have taught us, that God, we shall be a testimony. We will be a credit to your name, because we will live by these 5 questions. We'll start making better decisions, living as better people, doing better things, living our lives in a better way. We give you all of the praise and all of the glory. This week, Lord, we say, let's encounter you. Let's see you in the place of God. Let's draw closer to you. Let's know you, oh God. This week, we pray that you will step out for us. Those who have interviews, that you will show up for us. Those who are trusting you for one thing or the other, you will show yourself as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, the God who sees. Those who have emotional challenges, that we have physical challenges, Lord, you will show yourself strong on our behalf. In the name of Jesus, I call heaven to bear on all of our lives. I call heaven's intervention into your businesses, heaven's intervention into your career, into your finances, into your family, into your relationships, the things that seem not to be working well. We call God's intervention into them, and we say that God will glorify himself in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And so shall it be for you. Lord, I speak against every infirmities, every sicknesses, every health challenge that we have, that in our family members, in our parents. Lord, we speak the word of God into those health situations. And we say, God, you will arise as the Son of Righteousness with healing in your wings. Lord, you'll overshadow them. Lord, we speak healing into those lives. Everyone online, we speak the healing of Jesus into your lives. So shall it be for you. For in the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you so much. We love you. And we'll see you online tomorrow as we pray. God bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you.